Bye, Dunphy. Hi.
10:26 on the button. What do you mean? That's an, you don't like irregular times. That's not 10:25 or 10:30.
No, but the 00 came up for the seconds. Okay. I quite like that.
That's quite OCD.
It's not bad at all. Yeah. That's a very pretty skirt you're wearing today.
Thank you very
much.
What
colour is it? It's kind of like a powder,
sort of
peach or pink. I can't see.
Yeah, it's quite 1950s.
Oh, that's why
it?
I like it, of course. Yeah. No wonder. God, I'm so predictable.
And
but it's really
a
nice.
It's a suitable length for my age, I think.
Well, there you go.
An inch above the knee. It's Kate Middleton length.
There you see. She's, they're loving her. The girls are loving
her. You like her, regardless.
Do you know what? I think that, I don't think she's the prettiest girl on the planet Earth.
Oh, I think she's lovely.
But I think she is attractive.
She gets a rough time, because can you imagine? You probably can. I mean, she is dictated to every day by what she can wear. So,
oh, that's how I think that's only right.
The skirt has to be, is it 2 inches? Is the above the knee, is the, not 2 inches
yeah,
long.
But hang on
that's
a second.
Dangerous territory. Two inches above the knee, I think that is protocol, official royal protocol.
Well, I appreciate that, but also she wears it really well. I think she's got a nice style, and the clothes she picks are seem to be, you know, high street stuff. I don't think she's dressing like some sort of weird Victorian nun.
She does a nice pick and mix. She picks a bit of high street and a bit of really high end stuff.
Okay, so it's a bit of
But
the
then,
both.
You know, she's 5'10" and probably a size 6, so she wears clothes so well and so easily.
I thought
so
she wasn't pretty. That was a bit mean. She is pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry,
you are
take
mean,
that
but
back.
You're a mean person.
Well, I know that's
you're
just innate.
You're mean-spirited and you're unkind. And I have missed you. It's been 3 weeks
see, that's why
since
you
our last confession.
For that last confession. Yeah. You love coming in here for the
Why
green.
Are you flicking to that magazine?
This is the new free magazine with the Indo. It's called Insider. It's kind of like the gloss for slow learners. It's good.
The gloss for slower. Well, I pointed out that Insider sounds a bit rude. Never looked at me blankly and went, oh.
Oh, no, it's Insider, not Insider.
And now I've ruined it for everybody. Isn't it a nice magazine?
I think it's got it's a bizarre decision to put Kiefer Sutherland on
you
the cover.
You think it should have been somebody Irish?
Yeah, big time.
Well, I think the cover looks like a 1990s American cigarette ad. I think it's very cool. In a good way.
Are you giving a compliment there with that comment?
Yeah. Oh, that's a compliment. That's a compliment.
I'll take it. But I'm intrigued by her article, which is called Womanity.
That's nothing to do with me. I had no idea about that.
Pontius Pilate. Can we get a bowl of water in here to let her wash her hands?
I had no idea. I was asked
there
to...
There she is. Nice picture of you.
Womanity. Well, they asked me to have headshots. I don't have headshots because I hate my picture being taken.
Womanity.
So
what is womanity?
I have no idea. It's the first time I saw it.
That's brilliant.
Hang on a second. I went to the launch last night. That was the first time I'd seen the name of the column. It's going to be...
You picked the name of the column.
No, I didn't.
And you're distancing yourself.
It's not my column.
Decision.
It's a shared column. So it's going to be... There's...
okay. So somebody else will be doing Womanity next week.
Colm Tobin is doing the chaps one. I'm doing the ladies one this time. So next week it'll be somebody else.
Okay.
So I think I'll be doing 1 in 3 or 4.
And is it a womanitarian exercise?
Genuinely, it was the first time. So it's like womanity, womanity,
womanity.
Yeah, I...
Women. Women.
But yeah, that's... Anyway, that doesn't change the quality of the writing.
I think this is...
I think
it's a great magazine.
It's a great magazine.
No, I do. I really liked it. I had a good...
Really good cookery slot. I had it last night. I got a preview copy.
Good on you. And pretty dresses and good man's...
So patronising.
American Crew, top wax for men. Men's hair. And there's a... Bags, I'm not a fan
I think it's a... Because Day and Night was the previous incarnation. And it was a great magazine.
Oh, it's replacing that, is it?
Yes, it's replacing that.
Oh, well, where's all the media stuff, the movies and... Oh, yeah, there it is, the back, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I think Day and Night was a little bit maybe too niche. I think people get bored. Day and Night used to come out on a Friday, I think, didn't it? And I'd be getting a flight on a Friday and I'd see a big pile of Day and Nights piled up where people had bought the paper to get on the plane and discarded the bits they didn't want.
I liked Day and
Night was
though.
One of them, so that was a shame. I think people just got bored of it. I think it was the right thing to do. I think that's a brilliant magazine.
It's really good. They have books. God, oh my, they're talking about books. What? Magazine in Ireland talking about books.
And I'm very happy to be associated with it.
I think you should be.
Womanity. Womanity. It sounds a bit like, you know, Manatee.
Yeah.
Those massive sea creatures.
Do you know,
the grey hair thing. Apparently, because obviously I have no grey hair at all, eating a handful of almonds every day it won't reverse grey hair, but it will, because basically it's genetic. It is genetic, because, you know, I had grey hair at 25, so did my mum, and not fully grey hair, but I had a few.
Yeah.
And some people don't have any. If the darker you are, people with red hair don't tend to go grey till much later.
Never thought of that, yeah.
Darker hair tends to go grey.
What's the story with me? I don't have grey hair.
Yeah, right. I've seen the Just For Men boxes in the bin.
Dude, look at my eyebrows. Do my eyebrows have any grey on them?
Because you dye that too.
Oh, look.
You look like Groucho Marx glasses. No, you don't have any. I didn't know eyebrows went grey. I said to my mum, eyebrows don't go grey. And she went, they do, love, they do. You just dye them.
I don't have any.
So that'll be something new to worry about. And someone said, yeah, when you get the first grey hair downstairs.
Oi.
Oh, no.
Oi. Okay, just very briefly on a...
But apparently, yes, it's something to do with, is it selenium, which is in almonds, or something that's in almonds keeps the pigmentation in your hair for longer.
Okay, there'll be a run on almonds.
So, now the almonds are quite fattening, so a handful is maybe, I think, some 6 to 10 almonds. Better than taking pills, anyway.
Apparently, pineapple is good for virility.
Really?
For your manhood, yeah. Apparently, somebody said that to us on the program. That has no reason why. There was no reason. There's no reason as to why I'm currently eating pineapple chunks, but it just happens to be part of a bowl of fruit.
I don't. And the way you said waft earlier made me giggle. I thought, I say waft. Waft.
What was I talking about, the waft? I didn't say waft, did
I? You did say waft.
In what regard?
He said the waft. I was talking to somebody outside, so.
The waft.
The waft. And it was very cute, made me smile.
So this bowl, this bowl of fruit, right, what is the point? My heart
kiwi
sinks.
Kiwi full of vitamin C, kiwi, very good for you.
Kiwi
keeps you
is
regular.
Nothing, it tastes of nothing.
More vitamin C than an orange.
It's boring.
Eat it and shut up.
There's no point.
Why? It's delicious.
It's not
that's
delicious.
Because
pineapple has
it's
taste,
forced,
grapes have
that's
taste.
That's force grown kiwi, probably grown in a hothouse.
No, but even if it's
Holland.
Grown in New Zealand, I still think it tastes dull. It is a
Puck
dull...
Pocumis, no, it doesn't.
Pocumis. Oh, God, I may be talking to him.
What?
Chris Lilly, maybe on this programme in the coming
on
days.
On the phone or in person?
On the radio. Well, on the radio, let's just say.
Oh!
The creator of Summer Heights High. 7 of us know about him, so don't tell anyone else. But it is...
I think more people know about him. Don't underestimate.
I hope so. What are we talking about, by the way?
We're talking about fruit. My taste on nothing. No, we're talking about embarrassing situations. You'd be very familiar with this. Probably a little too familiar.
I could tell you a story or two.
Well, I think when I, to put, let me start again.
Take it from the top. And two.
When I think I was about 15 when I had the first skirt and the knicker situation.
Yeah.
That's why I was starting. I was like, will I tell a story or not? You genuinely think that you need to move school, move house and possibly emigrate because it's so embarrassing.
It's that bad,
you know when kids say, I could die of embarrassment. It happened again 2 years ago. I spent half a day walking around town, skirt wedged into tights.
Oh, that's a lot.
And I got home and went, God, who saw that? And then I got over it and I forgot about it because that's the point. When you are, I think probably the height of your embarrassment years have to be your teens, when you're working out who you are. Because embarrassment is just, it's driven by fear. And when you're young, you don't want to be singled out for being, you don't want to be laughed at, you want to be liked, you don't want to be different for the wrong reasons, which is effectively what embarrassment causes. But as an adult, you like to think that with age and experience comes, you know, with, it's like, for example, if you go shopping with your mum when you're 12, and she's in Dunn's saying, complaining about something, you're mortified, you want the ground to swallow, to open up and swallow you whole. But as an adult, you find yourself doing the same thing, thinking, no, she was right. Because instinct and age and experience tells you it's the right thing to do. And you're not bothered what people think because you cease to care.
Yeah.
Or do you?
Well, I mean, you mentioned Dunn's and you mentioned childhood. And I think, why aren't there any dressing rooms? There were no dressing rooms in Dunn's for many, many years. And you were trying to get the trousers off to try on the other trousers and trying to cover yourself with one hand and taking the trousers off and doing the, you know, the hop along on one foot.
And your mum's saying to you, don't, no one's looking. Sure, no, it's nothing I've seen before. No one's looking
nothing
at you.
Nothing they haven't seen before. But they haven't seen me before.
Johnny has a story about that when he was trying to get into trousers. I think they were called Farrah pants or something. And he said he didn't really have the figure for them. And his mum was saying, no one's looking at you. Everybody was looking at him.
Of course they were.
I forgot. Communal change rooms as well. Source of much embarrassment.
I don't recall having them.
Really?
Or for girls, is
women
it?
Women had them, yeah. A lot of the kind of cheaper high street stores had
them. They call that a gym now, don't they? Everyone just goes into a gym.
But when I was a teenager, I did lots of very embarrassing things. Probably some of them weren't that. I'm trying to think what the worst was. I probably had some drunken, stupid moments in college that I would, you know, hope they would never happen to anybody now.
Yeah.
But the point is, nobody was filming them.
Yeah, well, that's
and this
a good
is the
point.
Thing, because
that's changed
there's
everything.
There's two levels of embarrassment. One is accidental embarrassment. So, for example, you know, no matter what age you are, you slip on the street and you fall over. Mm. Your first instinct is, have I hurt myself? No, I haven't broken a leg. Oh, I'm mortified. No one is laughing at you. It could happen to anybody.
But it is hilarious.
It if it's a particularly funny fall, it can be.
Like the guy on the ice on the news.
But, yeah, gold. Or those models
one of the
with the skinny
I've
ankles
seen.
On the heels, but they wobble like a broken gazelle and then go over. It is quite funny.
The newborn foals.
But the point is, it could happen to anybody, and it's not really embarrassing. It's an accident. The second one is embarrassment that you bring on yourself, be it by drinking too much, be it by just being an ass, or, you know,
I'm ticking a lot of these boxes.
Or
I'm not
heckling
comfortable.
A minister at a public conference. You know,
with a megaphone, physical
with
megaphone.
With a loudspeaker.
Oh, come on.
What is it? Tannoy is a brand name with the loudspeaker. But that's something, you're letting yourself down. And the trouble is now, I'm sure you saw the story during the week about the 7-Up battle, the two girls.
The two girls. And
there's been
shop.
Loads of those. From KPMG girl to Slaying girl to those two girls.
It's becoming quite common now.
And it seems to be the poor girls that are put up on YouTube more often than the boys. Now, those girls, their faces were pixelated, so I don't know who they were, but they will know who they were.
Tell everyone what happened.
It was a Londis in Dublin City Centre on Grafton Street, the wee hours of the morning. Two girls went in to buy probably some soakage, cheap wrap or something.
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure the wraps are lovely in that shop. And fell over, hammered, and started throwing around bottles of 7-Up, saying, 7-Up wars! 7-Up wars!
Yay!
Throwing the bottles that
they
were smashing.
They physically couldn't stand up.
They couldn't
were so
stand
locked,
up.
Yeah.
And that is mortifying. Now, I hope I was never that drunk in my teens. Chances are I may have been once or twice, but thank God nobody committed it to film forever.
They're manhandled, carried out of the shop. They're so locked they can't even get out of the shop.
And I was wondering with that guy, because I don't blame them, but the staff carried them out quite carefully and put them in the street, but I bet they'll get into trouble for that
They'll probably get fined.
I hope they don't, because they behave disgracefully. But I hope the girls aren't identified, and I hope they're aware of it. It gets taken down, they go, God, I should really know better in future. But that's what I fear for. Do you remember the KPMG girl who was
you and my dad, blah blah blah,
the waxing lyric.
I find those things really hard to watch.
And the poor girl, and that will be around no matter how many times it's taken down. It will still be on some splinter social media site forever and ever and ever and ever to haunt her, and that's dreadful. I'm so glad that wasn't around in my time. So
that's
for
before we get on
generation,
to the sex tapes, the threesomey stuff that we don't talk about, but that, you know, may or may not be out there. You know, it's just the stuff gets everything is
sick.
Filmable.
Yeah.
And filming.
You need to be very, very careful.
Everyone has a phone now.
This is going down a very dark road, isn't it? But that's my point, that embarrassment, no matter what your age or situation, you can move on from it. But if it's filmed, it puts it in a different level of mortification.
Yeah, it does, because we can now see, rather than hear it, before it was just hearing the story.
Yeah.
Did you hear about those two girls who threw 7-Up at each other?
And but also, if I could tell you, because embarrassment is driven by fear. We have that term, the fear, as adults. You know, when you were out and you were drinking, you go, I have the fear. The fear just means you suspect that you should be embarrassed about something.
Oh, yes, yeah.
That you think, and you say, if I was at you last night, I said, I have the fear. Well, I want you to tell me whether I was okay or not. And you go, yeah, you really should have.
I don't know. I want people to tell me how bad I was the night before. I don't like that. Oh, you were in some state last night.
I have a friend who does that.
Who'd love to. Like,
and the non-drinking pal.
I don't ride with non-drinkers.
Do you not?
I don't socialise with them when I'm out. I don't want somebody sitting there with the pen and paper. It is, yeah. It works fine.
But what you're hoping is that everyone else is like, don't worry, everybody was drunk. Or they will suffer from the same mild amnesia that you have. But that's what the fear is. It's adult embarrassment, really. But as adults, I
just
still
of
think...
I one non-drinker I do go out with, actually. He's brilliant. Sorry, you know, you need somebody.
No, of course you can go out with
Because I don't want somebody to give me a full report the next day.
And also, you're not getting totally hammered. You're a respectable man. You have a few drinks, unwind.
Which is not... there are times. But yeah.
Embarrassing situations that you need to not judge yourself too harshly. If it's something that you know you did wrong, put it right. If you are constantly embarrassing yourself as an adult around drink, then maybe you need to either stop drinking or keep an eye on how much you are drinking. Because I think as adults, we can still feel new levels of embarrassment like we did when we were younger. For example, changing career. You know, the kind of nerves.
Yeah.
There's a fear of letting yourself down, which is similar to embarrassment. Or a friend of mine, this is awful, and I saw it firsthand. He was best man at a wedding, and he suffers really badly with nerves. And I said, maybe you should just do more usher duties and not do a best man speech. And he went, no, I really have to do it. He got so nervous. He had one drink for Dutch Courage, that was all. But when he got up, I could see he was sweating and visibly shaking, and you could hear the piece of paper going in his hand. He vomited.
I thought PJ Gallagher and vomits before comedy gigs.
A lot of comedians do.
So did
my other half in the day. And I said, that's horrendous. He goes, no, he said, par for the course. You're literally sick.
I'm not surprised. You know, especially for that.
Well, someone
says
to me, every single person who suffers with nerves should be made to go and do a 5-minute stand-up routine, that everything else in life will feel so much easier. And you think, God, at least I'm not doing that anymore.
Somebody was on to say that Brendan Cork has the 7-Up War girls, there is footage available online of them without their faces pixelated. So that makes it doubly worse.
Oh, that's wrong. Well, get that down immediately.
Well, good luck with that.
So anyway,
it's on the line now.
We put it out on Twitter, as we usually do with these things, and we got loads of brilliant ones back. My favourite one was quite disturbing. It was a girl who said to me she got a voucher for a pedicure. And she'd never had them before. Delighted. Went to have the treatment done. Pedicure is having your toenails painted and filed. Mm-hmm. And they looked down at her feet and said, when did you put this last nail polish on? And she said, oh God, about like 3 years ago, I just top it up. And she said, everybody, it's one of these places where it was an open salon. Wow. And she said, I had no idea you were supposed to take nail polish off your toes. She said, she painted them for a wedding and just kept topping it up.
So she had she must have quite a crust of...
Well, she had it chipped off. But that's disgusting. And she said, I did leave very, very embarrassed.
Because another she had to share her story, ultimately.
Yeah, in public. But that's unwitting embarrassment, which again is... Well, no, that's actually just quite foolish.
See, now you're just being judgmental.
And I don't mind saying his name. He's actually a mate of my brother's because he tweeted me. Aidan fell out of a hot air balloon basket as it landed, rolled on the ground, and it took off again without me.
Oh, that's brilliant.
But he's the pilot.
Oh, that's even better. That's even better. That's the most peculiar one, I think,
yeah,
I can imagine.
Yeah, that is the most peculiar one.
Yeah.
I was at a friend's house. I only have this in just little note form. This girl was at a friend's house, housewarming party. This was sent as a private message because she said, please don't say my name. A housewarming party, spilled red wine in a brand new cream cake. The panic of, what'd you put in red wine to get rid of it? Quick, get me soda water. Got a soda water, poured it over the red wine, just made a huge, it looked like a crime scene. The girl came back out and went, it's okay, these things happen, just don't worry about it. Mortified. Hasn't been back since. That is embarrassing.
Yeah, that is very embarrassing.
Do you have any adult embarrassing
stories? I have a really embarrassing story.
You keep looking at me like you remember
something. I know, I just remember something now.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you want to share it?
Not really.
This one's really cute. Claudia sent out one on Twitter saying, one of my first flights, I shook the cabin crew member's hand when she asked for the ticket. Like, I don't realise how much you were. Am I sitting?
That's
adorable.
No, that's funny.
And again, I think she was about 10. So
that's innocent.
Because let's face it, as a teenager, anything small, be it a lift from your dad, you know, falling over, waking up with a spot on your face, somebody blanking who you fancy, you want to move house. That those things are
move
so
country.
Embarrassing. I know.
I mean, some people need to move country.
I remember having my wisdom teeth taken out and I bruised really easy. I looked like a chipmunk. So I decided I would just comb my hair down over my face.
Yeah.
My friend said I looked like a Punch and Judy stand. It was just this massive curtain of hair clearly hiding two giant chipmunks like cheeks.
Oh.
This one is just this. Oh, it's natural, but it is quite mortifying. This girl suffered with post-baby incontinence. And she was a single mum then after that, went on a date, and she said, he's a very funny guy. And she said, let's just say I should have worn dark trousers.
Oh.
I tweeted her back to say, did the date, was there a second date, did it go any further? And she didn't reply, so
no.
I don't know if she did or not, but that's...
Because that's just life, you know, that's an unfortunate thing.
But if you don't know someone you're on a first date, that's...
That's hard to kind of get over that, I suppose.
So this one, applying my fake tan, completely naked in my apartment, I noticed the man in the apartment across the way on his balcony staring. That's not embarrassing. That's a pervert neighbour.
That's not good.
You need to report him and buy some net curtains.
Having a good old stare.
In my apartment block, they clean the windows because I'm five floors up, so it's very private. But they clean the windows twice a year. And they have these really silent cherry pickers. I threw open my curtains. I was in my underwear, but there was this man polishing the window, not a euphemism. And I thought, I paused and went, what do I do? So I just nodded and went, how are you? And just closed them again quite slowly. Awful.
I might tell you my story after this.
Really?
Oh. That was the wrong thing to do. Yeah, how does that do?
That's embarrassing.
Well, that's it. I can do that. QED. 2F. Ryan and Maya, I hope you've seen Chris Lee's latest incarnation, Jemay, Private School Girl, which, of course, was on recently.
Yes.
I saw them every single episode.
I have,
and
yes.
Loved it.
I liked it a lot.
Pucky Miss.
It slowed down in the middle. A lot of it was quite repetitive because
of
the characters. But I never got bored of watching it, and I was, and I'm never, ever... I never feel unsatisfied with how he ends a series. Even, do you remember Angry Boys, which was Americanized for HBO? So, I mean, he said publicly, I think my characters work better in, say, six-part series, because, you know, you find out enough about them and then you come to the conclusion and there's the payoff. And I think it was 10 or 12 episodes, and it was a little bit too much. But I was still, the end, floods of tears.
Well, he's now Jonah. He's got Jonah's got his own show now.
I can't wait.
Baby breast leakage during an interview was an embarrassing text that came in. Ryan, I went to Mass a few years ago, says Shelley, and saw a seat halfway up the church. It was in the middle of the pew. And while I was shuffling, And I was shuffling to get to my seat in the middle of the pew.
Oh no.
I ended up sitting on someone's lap. But that is funny.
Because that reminds me of a similar one.
More toe.
Where, and I'm not, I don't mean a friend, meaning me, did that at a wedding, arrived in late. And I'd saved him a seat. It's like, we're over here. And he did nearly awkward shuffle. And someone, people don't stand up. They just kind of push back. And it's not, yeah, not
yeah,
enough
yeah,
room.
Yeah, yeah. Rub against and the legs. So rub against the legs.
He was almost reached me, leaning forward. Little Tommy squeaker. Yeah. Very audible. Just bent over a little bit too far. And then sat down and tried to make the same noise with his feet and just was fooling nobody.
Trying to make the seat.
Well, I got loads of those ones of where having an iPod or Walkman, if you're my age, on and forgetting that people can't hear what you hear and doing a little trump on the train or the bus and everyone looking and you go, oh no, everybody heard that.
I can hear that because I'm listening to it.
Yeah.
It's the, there's a good wind section in the... Okay, my embarrassing story was...
you're going to share it.
I'll share it to you quickly because it's really awful. My favourite singer in the whole world is Paul McCartney. Like, you know, in terms of the
Beatles. You haven't mentioned that ever. That's weird.
So on the Late Late Show about a few years ago, they brought in some Beatle memorabilia to show us, and we were all excited about this. I was like, yay, can't believe it. So in rehearsals there was the four suits from, you know, Hard Day's Night or something, and I was so giddy. I was getting a picture of the lads in the band, putting my head above the mannequin, kind of going, ooh, yeah,
where is this going?
And also they had like one of Paul McCartney's bass guitars, like these are wow. You know, if you know anything about Paul McCartney, you know that this guitar is his signature. It's left-handed bass guitar. And to be that close to it is like
a lot
presence.
Of money, I'm sure. As
yeah,
well.
It'd be like kind of if you're a priest and you're beside a chalice you're really into. You know, yeah, is that kind of thing?
We do get it.
Okay, yeah. Get it. So it's all very exciting, but I was giddy. You know, I get giddy sometimes during the rehearsals because I'm kind of excited about the show and like it's exciting and it's fun. And then I was this close to Beatledom.
I'm worried.
And then what happened was, so we're getting pictures taken and everything was on, and the researchers, my friends and colleagues, were sitting in the audience. They're kind of just going, there he is. Like he's like Charlie Bucket running around the chocolate factory. Looking at him, he's so excited, kind of pathetic actually, and he looks like a bit of a saddo. I was going, oh no, but I'm not sad. I'm actually just, I'm passionate. I'm passionate about things, and
yeah.
I love stuff.
It's because you
excited.
Care. You care too
I just,
much.
I just get excited. So I just saw this. So as I was walking from you know George's to Paul's to Ringo's to John's suits, I was kind of skipping almost with excitement, and my shoe kicked the guitar.
And it fell.
And the guitar fell. And one of the tuning heads on the guitar not only broke, but smashed into smithereens. Like about
was there
six.
A security person there
yeah.
with them? Oh,
yeah.
No.
So what I did was I saw them. Like, it could have been Eric Clapton's guitar, Jimi Hendrix. I couldn't give a monkey's. I'm not interested in those guys at all. Like, it's only McCartney. So I had to pick up the tiny bits of the shards. I put them in my hand, walk over ashen-faced to the team, and they said, what? And I said,
the broken detritus of this priceless guitar.
Yep. And in my hand, I unfolded my hand like Jack and the Beans, saying, there they are. That
I did this.
So what is that? I said, that is Paul McCartney, former Beatle Paul McCartney's guitar tuning.
I'd have just sent out for some super glue and glued it back on, hope for the best.
Anyone else would have been sacked.
Did you?
I was covered by the job I had. I had to go up to the guy in charge and
what
say,
happened?
I went up to the guy in charge. I had to go straight up. I was nervous. I said to the lads, I'm so embarrassed.
So you go and tell him what you've done.
They kind of said, yeah, on your own ear, son. So I went up to the guy and I said, there's been a terrible accident.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Did you blame someone else?
And you can't glue it together. It wasn't like it was two bits.
No,
I didn't blame somebody else. Come on.
That is awful.
That's embarrassing. Yeah. That was really embarrassing.
But that's because you're a careless individual.
That was pretty clumsy.
That is awful.
And now, anytime anything comes in, like the Lego guy was in the other day with all the Lego, they were going, here he comes, Mr. Blobby.
Keep him away.
Because we had Grace Kelly stuff in about 2 months later. I knocked her head onto the ground by accident.
Well, at least you can't smash that.
No.
But, oh God.
But everything else can be smashed.
That is reminding me, it's not a guitar, but a friend of mine, her sister got married in Kenya, and she went... She was the only bridesmaid. It was also in Kenya, so she's quite far from home. She had a door hit her in the face years previously. Oh, no, years previously. And she had a fake tooth and she couldn't get it replaced to the implant until before the wedding. So she got her new tooth, the implant, permanent. She was so delighted. She was morning of the wedding, brushing her teeth, heard a noise.
Oh, no.
The new implant had actually, the tooth had fallen off. An implant is actually a metal rod that's into your jawbone.
Yeah.
So just a tooth. So she had a metal spike. The tooth, they have these massive plugs in Kenya, went down the plug into the U-bend. She looked like Jaws, this big spike. She
had
the morning of her sister's wedding. And she had this lovely Kenyan hotel assistant came in and just took apart the U-bent, eventually took out the tooth covered in gunk.
And hair.
And pubes. Soap scum. Pubes. It was just a wash basin.
Yeah, well, stuff.
Do you wash yourself on a wash basin?
Why would you take me up on that?
What?
Eyelashes and stuff.
So, yeah, anyway, so she had to stick it in with chewing gum for the day.
Yeah.
But mortifying.
I went into the wrong delivery room to see how my wife was getting on being stitched after having her first child. I walked in, bent down, and looked up the wrong woman, ran out of the room with the nurse after me. Not a good moment.
That's not true.
I bet you that's
true. You don't walk in and look straight at the business end. Surely you ask your wife how she is first.
Unless you're
Benny Hill.
You're kind of keen.
Get out!
We're going to give him a call to see if it's all.
I know. I think that's been embellished.
We need to get this giveaway, our Manky cast off ties, which we will do after.
Are they actually your ties?
I took them out of my press there at the bank holiday weekend. They're doing a cull.
For the most part, they're very nice.
They're not.
Yeah, I kind of want to tie one around my head like the last day of school.
Yay!
Yay!
Let's throw eggs at each other. Okay, got to go. My Dunphy, it's been
great.
Thank
you for having me.
Thank
you
so much.
Bye.
Spring. Bye. Paul, good morning.
How are you doing?
Is it true?
Very true.
So what happened? Your wife was expecting.
There was two doors, two delivery rooms at an angle. Yeah. One on your left, one on your right, off each other. She just had the baby. I was ecstatic. Went out. They said she has to be stitched to put her legs up, and you know these two rest things.
Yeah.
And they had to do a bit of stitching. So I went out, done all the phone calls, ran back in, wrong room. It was the exact same situation in the next room. I didn't even look. I just said to the doctor, she was working away, how are you getting on? She says, yeah, fine. And I just said, are you okay? And wrong woman.
And was there a moment where she saw you, you saw her, and you both went,
And then everybody looked at me. I started running out the door, apologising. Nurse running after me. Into the other room. The nurse came in, and I had to explain, I'm husband of... But they all had a good laugh over it after.
And
the woman, I sent in apologies after to the woman next door, and she was fine with it.
Did you send her in a needle and thread and say good luck with that? So how long ago was that, Paul?
That was embarrassing.
How long ago was that?
That was 2009.
That's about 5 years. Okay, that's not too bad. And how's the baby?
Good, not a bother.
That's a lovely story for the 21st, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, have a good day, Paul. Good to talk to you.
You too, bye.